Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez, and today I have the guys from the 230 Dudes Podcast with me, Antonio, Charles. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on, Lyle?
We're chilling, man. How you doing?
Doing good. We had a ton of technical difficulties, but I think we figured them out, and hopefully this episode sounds better than what I think it would.
I'm sure it felt, man. I got faith. We got faith in you.
Well, you have more faith in you than I do. So, so I called these guys over because I've been listening to their show since probably like the beginning, and I thought they were really cool. And I came up with this concept of what the topic of this episode is, and I thought, you know what, these guys, they do a lot of history shows. I'm sure they know about this topic, and sure enough, they don't.
Nope.
But Lyle, what we are damn good at
is research.
Well, cool. Hopefully you guys did a better job than I did, because my notes look like just a huge mess. But
sorry, we're on topic.
We got it.
Good. I'm glad. So I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. The topic of this episode is the seance that they hold for Houdini every single year. But beforehand, we're going to talk a little bit about Houdini himself, talk about who he was and what he did and why people care that they're doing a seance for him every single Halloween. Even to this day, it's still going on. So Houdini, we all know his real name's not Harry Houdini, it's Eric Weiss, and he was born on March 24th, 1874, and he died on October 31st, 1926.
Can we just stop for a second and talk about how that's Halloween?
Yeah, he died on Halloween. I mean, that seems very fitting for Houdini.
Yeah, especially somebody that's interested in seances.
Yeah, he was interested in seances and all that stuff. He was really big in trying to figure out if there was an afterlife. And he didn't find anything. He mostly found nothing but frauds. So he spent the last portion of his life debunking all of these people. So he can, to say, hey, you know, we can do these same tricks too. And, you know, stop wasting your money on this stuff.
Yeah,
I think it was his the passing of his mother, I want to say in 1912 or 1913, is when he sought out some spiritual healing, and that's when he found all the frauds and devoted the rest of his career to debunking these spiritual leaders.
Yeah, he was doing that. It was his mom who passed away, and then he was so distraught over it, he went searching. And yeah, like, he didn't find anything. He mostly spent most of his time tearing these people apart, and it got him into some trouble.
I feel like I want to say that I respect his approach. Like, he was interested in this thing, but when he realized that these different people he was meeting with weren't legit, he was like, you know what? I'm going to tell everybody that you're not legit.
Yeah.
Like that, I respect that.
Okay.
You respect that?
I mean, I feel like he should have stayed in his lane as a magician.
Okay, you feel like he was crossing the line a little bit.
Like, I don't knock the broom out of your, you know, hand when I come to the school. Talk to the janitor, you know what I mean?
You are not sleeping tight.
Don't you think it's a morality thing that these people shouldn't be taking money from these people and, in you know, just for duping them?
I'm right there with you, Lyle. That's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, now, granted, I'm someone who has seen spiritual healers and did with that in interest. Like, I know that I'm walking into something that could potentially be, you know, nonsense. I also am just looking for something to satisfy whatever void I have. So, it's not like he didn't know the possibility that was going to happen. And the moral side of it, I mean, at the end of the day, they're running the business. I don't think it's very moral for Philip Morris to sell us all cigarettes, but we still fucking smoke them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if people want to seek for it, they can. But to me personally, I feel that if it's not legit, then you probably shouldn't do it. But the world is full of people doing that already. So to each their own, I'm assuming. I guess it's up to the person to either believe it or not.
Yeah, but my only thing is if you can't access that sixth sense or that fourth dimension, how do you know it's not real, right? He was a magician.
Yeah, but I guess it's like a one side or the other of the same coin. But you're saying, like, if you can't prove it, why are you going to fight against it? And the other side is, like, if you can prove it, why are you trying to do this? Like, I just feel like there's a he said, she said kind of thing going on here.
Yeah, obviously I know that I can't take my subconscious out of myself and put it into somebody else so I can see what they see. But I have talked to a lot of people that they say that they can talk to spirits and they can do this. I couldn't tell you if they are full of it or not. That's not really my place to say, hey, you don't, like, you're just saying these things, but I know you're really not, because honestly, I can't get out of myself and go into them, so I don't know. So that's always been my stance, is I don't know. But when I see somebody like Houdini, who spent his life in being a musician, tricking people for a living, that's pretty much what you do as a magician. You trick people. The only difference is you don't trick them into thinking that you have these magical powers. It is, I'm tricking you because it's a trick. That's what I do.
It's for entertainment.
Yeah.
It's for entertainment purpose, right?
Yes.
I mean, here's my thing, though, whether or not with respect to the morality question is, whether they're full of it or not, if they helped that person who came to see them by telling them something they needed to hear, if had they said the right thing to make Houdini feel better about his mother's passing, I'm cool with that.
I think what Antonio is hitting on is something we've talked about on our own podcast, which is religion, I think, where we don't necessarily agree with it, but if it helps people, we don't have a problem with it. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. But to make a living off of it, I mean, I don't know.
Why not?
It's kind of like if you were a therapist and you were helping with somebody, that's, in my mind, that would be a lot better than saying you have these magical powers that you can talk to somebody. Because in reality, I don't know if they can or can't. But what I do know is there's things like cold reading, there's hot reading, there's all these techniques that people can use to trick the person into thinking it.
Not to get too much off track, though, but that's the same thing a psychologist is doing, right? Like, we don't know if they can or can't do their job effectively. We're just trusting them based off of their title.
Right. I think it's all about results.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If it would have gotten Houdini the result, he probably never would have had an issue and tried to debunk them for the rest of his career.
But because he didn't get a result,
that's where he went.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can't get tricked, I guess. So he went on this path of just debunking them one after another. The biggest one that he went after is Mina Kandren, which is Marjorie, I think her stage name was. She was huge around this time, and he just, like, tore her apart like nobody's business. But she still had a career after that.
I wonder, you know what, Lau, you bring up a good point in that someone can be tricked. I wonder how much of Houdini's ego played into speaking with some of these spiritual healers.
Like
you're not... You're not going to trick the trickster.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right? Like, there's a bias in his actual experience.
He approaches everything as a trickster.
Yeah, I guess you can see it that way, that he doesn't want to get tricked. Because, like I said, he
see it that way.
He always said that no prison cell or no locks or anything could hold him. So it might have been the same reason. That's probably why he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's move on to his death, because his death is the topic of so much controversy. You guys know how he died, right?
Yeah, I mean, the actual diagnoses, though, was acute appendicitis, right?
Right. That's what he specifically died of. His appendix ruptured.
But it came from like some blows from this Jocelyn Gordon Whitehead.
Yeah, it's said that because Houdini was just hanging around in his, I think his, I don't know if it was a study or if it was, it was after a show, and he was nursing like his foot or something, and he was reclined on a couch, and the guy comes in, and he pretty much just says, yeah. What does he say? He said something like, if you believed in miracles of the Bible, whether it's true, punches to the stomachs didn't hurt you. He just started hammering on him. Like, he didn't let Houdini brace himself. He didn't let him finish nursing his hurt ankle, because he was already in pain. And this guy just comes in and starts wailing on him. And I think it was about four punches, something like that. And Houdini took him like a champ, I'm gonna say.
Yes, as I understand it, Houdini wasn't even standing up for these hits, right?
No, he was reclined on a chair, like on a recliner. And the guy came in, punched him, and he took him as best as he could. But like I said, he wasn't braced for him. So imagine if you're just sitting there. Imagine if you're just sitting there recording this podcast, and I come up to you and just start punching you in the stomach. How would you feel?
I think Antonio could take it, but I would be honest, I probably would have been out after one hit.
Well, the crazy thing, too, is like, I mean, one, don't ever underestimate a man whose first name could be androgynous. Jocelyn has got major power in those hands, okay? But two, like, I mean, what was Jocelyn's purpose?
Yeah,
like,
what was he trying to get?
Especially with someone who's laid up with a busted up ankle?
No, I agree. I feel like he had ulterior motives to what he was trying to do. He was trying to make a point, right? Don't you agree?
Well, Houdini always says that he can take a punch from anybody. Like, he's that tough. He was in, you know, great physical shape. But around this time when this happened, he was 52. I mean, if he was probably 27, you know, at his peak, he probably would have taken it like nobody's business. But I mean, he's 52. He had a hurt ankle. He's seen some miles on his body, and he always claimed that, you know, he can take any man's punch. And this guy wanted to prove him wrong. I guess he either didn't like Houdini or just wanted to knock him off his pedestal.
Well, I know after he was taking the blows, Houdini finally was like, "All right, that's enough." But I wasn't braced properly. And then Houdini actually continued the rest of his night and went out and performed on stage.
Yeah, he went out, performed, and did his regular routine. It kind of reminded me of, I think you guys talked about it on your show, on the President Show, where Theodore Roosevelt got shot in the middle of his speech. He looked down and he said something like, "It's just a flesh wound," and he continued on his speech.
Yeah.
He got shot right before he went on stage, and he went on up and he said, "I don't know if you fully understand what has just happened, but I have just been shot." And then he pulls out his speech and continues to give the entire like 5-page speech in front of a crowd with a bullet wound in his chest.
And the show must go on, apparently. And what other president tried to do something similar? William Henry Harrison. I think he had a bad cold or something, and he went out to go give his speech, but he ended up dying afterwards.
Yeah, if I remember right, he gave his inaugural speech with a cold in the rain and died within days of assuming the presidency.
Yeah, so I guess it didn't work out for him as well as Theodore Roosevelt.
But like, seriously,
it never works out for the Harrisons, bro.
Yeah, Antonio has some experience, but seriously, like, I mean, like, I don't know. I've just got to say personally, like, I respect the balls on that guy, like, to do that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, that is like saying, like, I am your president for a reason. And I think it relates to Houdini because he's doing the same thing. He's saying, like, I'm not just, like, you know,
any old magician.
Yeah, I am Harry mother.
Houdini,
you know? I don't know. I'm sorry, Lyle. I don't know if you swear on your show or not. I'm just going for it.
That's okay. I'm going to bleep all this out, so you're fine.
Okay.
So he took those punches. He wasn't able to sleep for a couple of days. He was in pain. He didn't go out to seek medical help because, I mean, he can take the punches. He's Houdini. He's tough. And when he finally saw a doctor, I mean, he had a fever of 102. It was acute appendicitis. He was advised that you need to have surgery right away, and he pretty much ignored all of the advice that the doctors were giving him, and he decided to just continue with the show.
I mean, Jordan, right?
Jordan, remember that game where he was puking on the sidelines?
Yeah,
you got to do. That's why he's the great one, right?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't have appendicitis. He just had a cold. This guy was like dying, and he still went out, had his shows. He went on his shows, and he went to the Garrick Theater in Detroit, and that's where he had his last performance. And he had a fever of 104. I mean, my daughter had a fever of 104, and that scared me to no end. And this guy was outperforming with 104.
Yeah, I think, what is it, at 105 is when they start being concerned about brain cells being fried?
Mm-hmm. Somewhere around
there. Yeah, 105, 106.
So, if I'm not mistaken, did he not pass out during that show?
He did pass out. He passed out, and then he was passed out, and he was revived, it says. So, I don't know if he was...
Continued.
He just kept going.
Yeah, he got up.
I'm sorry. I'm in the audience, and I see the magician pass out, and they have to revive him with CPR or something. I might be like, it's time to call it a night.
What are those things they... Smelling salts. Yeah. I mean, like, no matter what it was, I would either be like, it's part of the act, or this dude's got some...
I'd be very concerned.
Yeah, so, I mean, 104, he was out there performing, passed out. They revived him. And afterwards, I shouldn't be laughing at this because this guy's life. He died after this.
No, it's about to get serious. Everybody brace yourselves.
So afterwards, he goes to, he's rushed to the hospital in Detroit's Grace Hospital is where they take him. And he eventually has the surgery and he dies. That's it. Like, that's the end of it.
Detroit messed up. He went to a Detroit hospital.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have just gone, had a surgery at the first sign of things were happening, he probably would have been fine. I mean, they probably would have had a surgery days before anything happened, and he probably would have came out fine. But I'm pretty sure it was his ego. He thought it was just the punches that he took.
That makes you always think. I know as I get older, I'm always like, these little things that might bug me, like, I should probably just go get them checked out sooner than later, do whatever the doctor says, because you don't want to end up being in a position where it can't be fixed, right? And that's what happened to him. It just couldn't be fixed at that point.
I agree, although I'm not like that. I'm like 100% of the opinion that it's going to figure itself out, and I should just keep ignoring it. I'm the Houdini. I'm a die at 52.
Yeah, and it, sure enough, he died shortly after. It was on Halloween when he finally passed. I think he said something like, because at the very end, like the last day of his life, he was in so much pain. He just couldn't take it anymore. And I think his last words were something like, I'm tired of fighting. And he pretty much died soon after.
Well, what was interesting was the pact that he made with his wife, because even though they were trying to debunk a lot of the spiritual leaders, they were still interested in the spiritualism and the spiritual realm. So they decided whoever dies first, we're going to try to contact each other from the other side.
Right. Yeah, so the way that I see it is that it wasn't that they didn't believe in the afterlife or spiritualism. They believed it was out there. They just couldn't find someone that was able to pull it off.
Well, that's the sign of a true agnostic, right? It's not that I don't believe. It's just that we don't have evidence to prove it exists.
I want to see something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I feel like most good scientists aren't necessarily atheists. It's just that we don't have the instruments to measure what everybody calls God.
You don't want to be so close-minded.
Yeah.
Right, you never do, because you could be missing out on a lot of good stuff if you just keep a closed mind on everything. I mean, most of the medical breakthroughs that we get are all done by accident, like Viagra. We stumble across that, and then here we go. Erectile dysfunction, what did they call it? Erectile dysfunction is no more.
It's funny you mentioned that there's a second accident that's happened with Viagra with the younger generation that they found in the use of younger people using it, that it actually also decreases anxiety.
So they're starting to
create derivatives from it, of like the base molecules of it.
Smaller doses
or whatever, to create a pill that helps with anxiety as opposed to erectile dysfunction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's the pill that keeps on giving. That's the way I see it. I don't know about you guys.
that was good, Lyle. That was good.
So yeah, he spent most of his life debunking mediums, and he made that pact. And there was a special message that they were supposed to relay one another, so they know that, hey, this medium is actually doing it, you know, doing the seance correctly. And here I am presenting the code. Do you guys know what the code was?
It was Roosevelt, answer, tell, pray, answer, look, tell, answer, tell. Which apparently these all corresponded to some letters to spell out the word believe.
Right. And believe was supposed to be the, it was supposed to be Roosevelt believe. That was supposed to be what the message they were supposed to receive was. And nobody got the message. Like, there was this one case where somebody claimed that they did it. I think the person's name was Arthur Ford. He was a medium in 1929, and he approached Bess, which is his wife, and he claimed that he did it. He decoded it, and then eventually was found out that it was a hoax. He didn't really do it. According to Bess, he never revealed it.
So they held this seance every year on the anniversary of his death. I mean, at least Bess did, his wife, for what, the first 10 years after his death?
And I just want to point out how crazy, again, I've already said it, but Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, of all of the days of the year, I mean, you've got a 1 in 365 odds that it is the day.
That can't be the right probability, but maybe.
Well, I don't know. You know what? I'm not the math guy. Antonio's the math guy. I'm just saying, like, of the spiritualism side of this thing, that is crazy.
Yeah,
right?
That is crazy.
I mean, like, I don't know. Just maybe just the odds of that being crazy is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it was Houdini's ego that said, you know what, I'm going to hold off until the 31st so I can die on that day. And then he did.
I could buy into that one.
I could too. I think that might be the kind of thing he would think was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, hold on until that day and then just let go.
Yeah, because I have a feeling like my grandmother right now, she's in the process of, you know, she's not in hospice, but she, you know, she's really, really close. And I have a feeling that, you know, we hold on for certain things in life. And eventually, when we feel comfortable, we just let go. And that's when we decide to die, or of old age. I mean, if you die in a car accident, there's really no deciding when you're going to go. You're just going to go when you go. But yeah, I mean, my grandma, I'm pretty sure when she feels comfortable enough, she's just going to go. She'll pick a date, and that's the day she's going to go on.
Well, I thought what was interesting was Bess, on the 10-year anniversary in 1936, I believe on the rooftop of the Knickerbocker Hotel, she decided that was going to be her last seance to run for her widowed husband.
She was like, 10 years is enough time.
Yes, it's long enough to wait for any man.
Yeah.
You know, which I kind of feel her on that.
I agree.
I think 5 years would have been long enough, but she was devoted. But yeah, that was the last one. 10 years, Bess said she calls it quits. But I mean, somebody took over. They who was it? Sidney Radner, who was the he wasn't a close friend, but he was an enthusiast to Houdini, and he decided to take it upon himself to continue the tradition of hosting this seance every single year. And they still do it. It's last year they did it at where did they do it last year? It was in Cleveland, at the Crop Bistro. But reading up on the event, it feels so commercialized that it's just the thing to do now. I mean, it's not them trying to conjure up Houdini's spirit. It's just, you know, a money grab.
Well, I wonder. It makes me think about. how loved or the prominence he must have had at the time in the entertainment industry, right? Like, I mean, most people, if you mention Harry Houdini, they'll be able to tell you off top that he's a magician who specialized in being escaped artist, you know? But when you think about today, like, how often do you go and see a magician or watch a magician on television? Like, it's just not common. Yet for Harry Houdini, we still have, you know, in 2017, they're still conducting a seance on the anniversary of his death.
Wait, did you just say people going to watch magicians is not common?
Well, not for me.
Well, I mean, and I think that the big name...
Do you go watch magicians, Lyle?
I would go watch Penn and Teller in a heartbeat at Vegas. David Copperfield, I would.
No.
Man, the last time I went to Vegas, I got into some trouble, so, you know, they don't want me back.
You're not welcome back. No, I think there is something to what Antonio is saying, in that we don't hold magicians in the same esteem now that they were once held. And I was telling Antonio before we started this podcast tonight that my grandpa took me to see David Copperfield when I was about 8. And it's a memorable experience for me because I went to see him, but I honestly don't remember the act that much. But I think when you think about magicians, you think Harry Houdini, you think maybe David Copperfield, you think maybe Penn and Teller, like you just said, Lyle. But we can't name a whole hell of a lot of magicians anymore. No. And back in the day, you might have been able to name a whole bunch.
Or at least you knew exactly who Harry Houdini was and when his show was being performed.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess it's a sign of the times, because who would probably be popular now? YouTubers, I guess, with the younger generation. I mean, my daughter watches YouTube nonstop, and she keeps telling me about these random dudes.
The only magicians that I know of within the last decade is what? David Blaine and
David Blaine is
Chris.
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel,
Chris,
yeah.
Chris Angel, there you go.
And, like, but I mean, like, both of those guys are just, like, I mean, now that I think about it, it may relate to this, but they're just such showmen. They've made a name for themselves because they really put themselves out there. And that might be what Houdini was doing. But I don't think that illusionism is seen the same way now as it was then.
No, we're so desensitized to the ability.
Right. I mean, we live in this world where, like, I mean, hell, Lyle, we just spent the last 30 minutes getting technical difficulties figured out. Like, But I mean, like, for real, we know how a lot of these things work anymore.
Right. That's kind of what puts the bar higher up for the newer magicians, because you guys can say that it's not as big anymore. But I don't know. I still see it on a daily basis. I don't go out of my way looking for it. We watch what's that show called? America's Got Talent. And there's a couple of magicians on there. There's a lot of mentalists that do weird stuff. David Blaine has freaking, I don't know how many specials in the past couple of years. Chris Angel was around. They're there. It's probably just not in our realm of what we see as entertainment anymore.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, when you watch America's Got Talent, you appreciate the magician more than the little girl who comes on and sings her ass off that you never knew she could bellow like that. You know,
I have mixed feelings about what goes on that show,
but it does it like it. I think in this day and age, it starts to become a mixed bag. Like, you don't see magicians in the same light you might have seen them 50 years ago.
Probably not, but it's still interesting. They're still coming up with really cool, fascinating stuff that. It tricks me every now and then, and trust me, I've done my homework on a lot of these tricks, so I can kind of tell where the switches are made, how it's done. But there's every now and then there's a couple of new magicians that I see doing some tricks that, I mean, I can't for the life of me figure out how they do it, and believe it or not, it drives me crazy because I can't figure it out.
Well, I'm curious though, like, from both of you guys. Like, when I see a magician do something pretty cool, right? Or illusionist, or whatever you want to call them. The analogy I can give you is, like, if it was, like, going on a show like Fear Factor.
Okay.
Right? I would never be really freaked out about any of the stunts, because even though there is a probability of a fatal accident, like, they have all the fail-safes in place to make sure that shit doesn't happen. So when I watch this dude, yes, it's amazing, but I know you're pulling an illusionist trick. So at the end of the day, it's like, ah, awesome. Here's a dollar in your cup. Like, I'm gonna keep pushing down the Vegas Strip. Am I wrong?
Well, I think it's more or less the being able to fool somebody in the way that they do. Because if I see a really good trick done, it bothers me that I need to know how it's done. And obviously, the code is you don't reveal your secrets. So it just turns into this fight in my head that I want to know how it's done. I can't figure it out. So I just need to move on and live my life regularly.
Didn't they have a show about that? Like,
revealing how magic is done. No, and I've watched them. It's called The Masked Magician.
There, with the Superman from the sitcom in the early 2000s.
Oh, Dean Cain hosted the
show.
There
you go, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Lois and Clark. That was really random. Man. That is not something I would have expected Antonio to know. But it was hosted by Dean Cain. Dean Cain, that's his name. Dean Cain. And it was called The Masked Magician, and they revealed how different,
like, man, I know a lot of magicians
very
had a problem,
common but, yeah. tricks were done. But I guess I get where Antonio is coming from, is how I see it. But also, I think that there's always in this world a desire to just be amazed. And I think that there are a lot of people, Lyle, that are unlike you, that just want to enjoy it and don't necessarily look for the reason why.
Right.
See, what I enjoy about it most is to think, even if that is just an illusion, cool, somebody's able to do something mystical that I can't understand, which means that the probability of mysticism being alive in this world is a little better, and I'm totally okay with that.
Like, you like the idea of mysticism being okay.
Yeah, I like, as much as, you know, not to go back to the religion thing, but as much as I may consider myself an agnostic, I like the idea that that is a possibility of existence.
It's a possibility, and if it exists, it exists, but we haven't seen it. At least we haven't seen it proven. Will we? I don't know. We might in 10 years. We might in 100 years. We don't know, but I'm not as closed-minded to say that it's 100% not there, because it can be there. I'll be the first to say it can. But is it right now? No, it's not. It might eventually, but right now, no.
So I think this might be a good time to say that they are still doing Houdini seances on Halloween.
Yeah, they're still doing it. They did. The last one was held in Cleveland at the Crop Bistro, and Mary Ann Goldweber was the medium who conducted the seance. And it's no longer done by Sidney Reiner because he passed away in 2011. So now his son, Bill Radner, takes over, and he's held it since 2012, I believe. He's been doing it, and now anyone can go. If you have $80, you can go buy a ticket and you can go see the seance. But like I said, it's commercialized now. That you pay $80 for the ticket. You go have your meal. You can have a drink at the bar. And the medium even does audience readings. So I'm pretty sure it's like a John Edwards type thing where, you know, I'm getting this over here, I'm getting this over there. Who could I tie it to? This person. Okay. And then, you know, does their act. But this is what really gets me is after the show, you can get private readings from this person for $20 for 10 minutes.
That it sounds like a lot of money to me, but I do want to make a couple points off of that, one of which is, and we've talked about this on our own podcast, but you mentioned it earlier too, Lyle, cold readings are a very real thing. And
not only is it real, but it takes a lot of skill.
It takes a lot of skill, but it's not necessarily what it is supposed to be. And I was telling Antonio recently about when I saw Penn and Teller Live, and they did a whole bit on debunking cold readings by basically doing them and then saying, here's how I did that. And I think that that's an interesting thing in and of itself. But then also when you talk about this family that has continued the Halloween seances for Houdini, I just think to myself, like, man, my dad was a lawyer. I really wish he had something like a seance going on. Because in that situation, I would have taken over the family business without even thinking twice.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't want to be a lawyer. But if it was just like every Halloween, you hold a whole bunch of people and then say some stuff, man, I would have been good at that.
Well, his dad, Sidney Radner, was a Houdini enthusiast. He inherited all of Houdini's stuff after Houdini's brother died. I think his name was Hardeen. He passed away, he got all of his items. And now it was all auctioned off about 10 years ago, something like that. And I think it got somewhere like a couple of $1 million is all of Houdini's stuff, you know, came out to be. And I have mixed feelings about him auctioning off all of the things. He should have given it to the museum instead of having to make him pay for it. Because Houdini wanted all of his stuff destroyed. He didn't want his secrets to be revealed after he died. So for his brother to give it away to this guy and this guy to sell everything, I mean, that seems wrong to me.
I think it's worth noting that it was David Copperfield who bought a majority of the stuff. Is that right?
David Copperfield does own a large portion of the collection because, I mean, David Copperfield, he's got some money. I'll tell you that right now. That dude made the Statue of Liberty disappear. He can make anything disappear, reappear.
That was actually, I recently read that was one of the biggest TV specials of the entire 80s. Out of all of the 80s. David Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear was one of the highest watched television performances that was done.
Yeah, and he's a good magician. I mean, I heard a story. I don't know who I heard this from, where I heard it, or how, but David Copperfield, he's a good-looking dude, so he had these two chicks with him after a show, and a guy comes up and starts mugging him. And David Copperfield pretty much does magic in front of the guy to make it seem like he didn't have his wallet. And he cupped his wallet, and the dude, like, the guy that was mugging him just took off. Because he didn't have his wallet on him, and then he just busts out his wallet with all his money in it and walks away. That's the type of skill I wish I had if I ever got mugged. I could just make things disappear and reappear like he did.
Yeah, man. I wish you had that skill, too.
So yeah,
but there's got to be some. I mean, you have to like the sentiment that David Copperfield is the one who purchases to kind of keep it within the realm of the magician's world.
I couldn't agree more. It sounds right. It's like it's like the right person that could have possibly bought the tricks is the one that bought the tricks. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he has it in his private collection, and I think you could probably go see some of it. I think he has it on display at a Houdini, like a museum for him in New York. So you can go see a lot of the stuff. And I think it's cool. I mean, I know Houdini wanted to get all of the stuff destroyed. He didn't want his secrets out there. But to be able to go see a piece of history like that is pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Especially from somebody that, people still admire to this day. I mean, 90 some odd years later, the seance is still going on. I saw a documentary on Houdini that was done not too long ago. So he's some semi still relevant in pop culture. What do you guys think?
No, I couldn't agree more. I think Antonio made a good point earlier, but we're talking about a guy in a just post vaudeville era who was a big name that is still to this day a big name.
But I will say, though, he's a big name for us, maybe even us three, in knowing who he is, but I don't know if it goes beyond our generation.
Well, I think
Lyle, I'm curious, if you asked your daughter who Harry Houdini was, unless you've talked to her about this or shown her magician stuff, it sounds like you like magicians. But, I mean, would she know? Because, like, I could tell any three of my boys, and they would have no idea who Harry Houdini was.
You know, my daughter is a character. She's 10, And she says things to me that I had no idea she knew what it was. And like the other day, we're walking down the street. She sees a cigarette on the ground and she says, "Hey, look, somebody dropped a smoke." And I said, "Who the heck told you that that was a smoke?" Or she'll say random stuff like that that makes me be like, how do you know this stuff? And as far as her knowing who Houdini was, she might know because of the people in school. That, I mean, nostalgia is always big. We take on our parents' characteristics, because I didn't grow up with the Beatles, but I know the Beatles because of my dad. There's a lot of stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure she might not know it now, but as time progresses, she will probably find her way to looking for him, because he is, you know, he's a historical figure that people will talk about for many more years to come. Even though if she's not talking about it now, in a couple of years, it might change.
Possible.
I don't know. Antonio is a little more skeptical here than I am.
The Beatles? Yeah, she'll totally know who they are.
I think that she will know the name Houdini in relation to magic by the time she's like, I don't know, 13.
See, and I just don't think that...
I don't know if she'll know an example of his tricks, but I don't even think that's, unless
the kid's a history buff, and I'm not specifically talking about your daughter, but I mean a kid in general. Like, I don't know. I think the buck stops here with Houdini.
I think that his name will go on in relation to magic, regardless if he knows specifics. That's my estimation.
There's one person who's under the age of 18 that I think I could ask who's Harry Houdini that I personally know in my life that would absolutely know exactly who this person is, and we call him Magic Mike.
All right. I think that we're going to have to add – I mean, I know this is your show, Lyle. But I think that you need to just, like, do a little postscript on this thing and ask your daughter if she knows the name Harry Houdini and just see what her answer is. Because I'm willing to bet that she says it has something to do with magic. That's all I'm saying.
And I'll even ask Averyn and record it for you and send it to you.
All right, so Antonio's going to ask Averyn,
the oldest. He's 8.
8-year-old, if he knows the name Harry Houdini, and he's going to send it to you.
Okay, let's do this. You guys talk for about 5 seconds. Let me go grab her. We'll find out. Hold on.
Oh, shit. Watch your mouth.
My mouth. I'm sorry, Lyle. I'm sorry. I won't say that again.
Well, let's see. I'm curious.
I'm fascinated by this.
But see, this comes back to my point, though, about whether you know or you don't know.
I think you're right. And I also want to see if you can say the word this any more times.
All right, guys. We are back. And I have my Callie who just ran away. Come here, Callie. Come here. Just 1 second. Come here.
Oh, Callie's not feeling.
She's not going to. Okay, she's coming back.
Hi, Callie.
She's coming back. All right, come here, Callie. Say hi into the mic. Say hello.
Hello, peeps.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello,
Callie. Peeps. How are you doing?
And she just dabbed whatever that is. All right.
Oh, you dabbed. I'll dab back on you, Callie.
We're both dabbing back.
They're both dabbing for you. Okay, so, Callie, talking to the mic. Talk loud. Do you know who Harry Houdini is?
I have no idea who that is.
Does the name Houdini sound interesting to you?
Kind of not.
Okay. What if I told you that Harry Houdini was a regular person like you and me, and he could escape from handcuffs, and if you put him in jail, he could find a way out? What would you think of that? Does he sound interesting?
He sounds interesting now.
Okay, he sounds interesting now. So would it be something that you want to learn about? Learn about who he was and maybe see some pictures, maybe even see some videos. Like, you know how you like to watch your YouTube videos? What if you saw some videos of Houdini? Would you like that?
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of not.
Kind of not? Why not?
I don't have any words.
You got no words? Okay. Well, so you're interested if you knew a little bit about him. If you knew that he could escape from handcuffs and he could escape from jail. And he was a really, really tough guy. Okay.
I'm too shy to speak in microphones. I've never done it, even though I want to make a YouTube channel. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Callie.
It's okay. Hi, Callie. My name is Charles. Can you hear me?
No, she just took off. Let me grab her again. Callie. All right.
Okay, so... Oh, you bringing her back?
Yeah, she just made a U-turn. Okay, come here. Let me put the headphones on.
No.
Talk.
No.
Come here. This is good podcasting, trust me. Just come here really fast. They want to ask you a question. Okay, here she comes. Man, this episode's going to need a lot of editing. All right, here she is.
No.
Okay, stop.
No.
Listen. All right, she's got the headphones on. Go ahead.
Hi, Callie. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Charles. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, if I told you there was a guy that could hang upside down by his ankles in a tank of water, would you be interested in that?
Yes.
Okay, Callie, my name's Antonio. Hey, Callie. I want to ask you another question.
Okay.
Do any of you or your friends at school ever, have you ever heard anyone at school ever talk about Harry Houdini before?
No, I've never really heard about him until just now.
Nice.
That's okay. That's all we wanted to know.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Callie. We appreciate you jumping Callie. On.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
You sound like my oldest.
All right, she's gone for reals now.
Okay, Lyle. So, yes, if you share with somebody what it is, it sounds very interesting, and you would. But my point was, I don't think that is relevant conversation anymore, because the buck stops with our generation for Houdini. I'm not discrediting him. He's great for what he was and as a magician and what he's meant to the business, but she's not hearing that at school, right? Like,
okay, no, she's not hearing about Houdini, but are you saying that just for Houdini because of who he was, or for historical figures in general?
No, I'm talking about Houdini in particular. Okay. The historical figures that we most of us know as common knowledge are because they're taught in school. Right? That is our common ground, is the common background in education in American society. However, Houdini was simply an entertainer, right? Put it this way. When Callie is a grandmother, will her kids know who Kim K is?
I would say probably yes, because...
I don't think so. Unless there's a lineage of all the other kids that follow.
No,
Will they know who David Blaine is, or David Copperfield?
Maybe David Copperfield, not David Blaine, and definitely Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at it, the older generation for me, my parents and stuff, they had their own Kardashian sisters, the Gabor sisters. That's pretty much who they were. They were they were famous for... just because they were famous. Nobody knew what they did. They were just famous. Same with Kim Kardashian. She's famous because I don't know why. But I know who the Gabor sisters were.
Joe Rogan has a good set about that. Like, if aliens came to Earth and you had to explain why Kim Kardashian was famous, like, what the f*** would you say?
I got nothing.
But no, I mean, what I'm saying is, I know who the Gabor sisters are. So when I'm an old man, I'll know who they were. But my daughter probably won't. So I would say when she's talking to her grandkids, they might know who they are. But when those grandkids are talking to their grandkids, I don't think they will know who she is.
Well, and I would say maybe because you might tell your daughter about that, right? But
I don't think the Gabor sisters is going to be regular conversation between me and my daughter.
Exactly. But when is Harry Houdini regular conversation? It's for guys like us three who like this type of history and information.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I think it's all about what goes on at school, because it only takes one kid to get into Houdini and just start wearing Houdini shirts. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure Hot Topic has Houdini shirts.
I agree with that. Target probably has Houdini shirts.
I don't know, y'all. When you guys went to school, how followed was the kid who did magic?
Magic, maybe not.
No, but nowadays...
I'm going to follow what he's on top
of. But let's talk about the kid that was wearing a Beatles shirt. Is it much different?
It is different.
Is it?
Well, Beatles cross international waters.
So did Houdini.
But I mean, can you speak to Houdini on a level that multiple industries across international waters, multiple generations that are still reliving it today? How many Beatles shirts or albums do you have compared to how many fucking Houdini stuff you have?
Well, that's kind of unfair. That's unfair because we didn't have the medium we had in the 60s when the Beatles were around. We didn't have all of the high-tech stuff that they had. I mean, Houdini died in, 1929? Come on, you can't put those two together because there wasn't enough media out there.
I'm okay with that argument of context.
Okay,
I'm okay with that argument of context, but at the same time, right? I mean, okay, that's the same reason why you can't say who was better with respect to athletes in this generation versus, say, Jordan or Jerry Rice's generation, right? Completely different game, completely different mediums we had to watch them, completely different ability to be access to fans. I'm not knocking Houdini. All I'm saying is I don't think magic lives on the way we hope it does. Beatles albums, those were more real magic probably to both of you than Houdini ever was.
I don't know. It has been a hard day's life, really.
Yes, Lyle, yes.
No, but I mean, if we really want to compare two people together, we would probably have to compare somebody like, I would say either Doc Holliday or Billy the Kid versus Houdini, because those two lived closer in the same time frame. We don't have any recordings of Billy the Kid or anything like that, but he's still relevant in pop culture. It might have been because of what we were what you guys were talking about before we even recorded, which was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He shows up as a historical figure there, and I don't ever remember me in school learning about Billy the Kid or Harry Houdini. It's stuff that I've stumbled on.
No, but that goes back to your other point of us living through our parents, because I knew exactly who Billy Kidd and Doc Holliday were because all my dad did was watch Westerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But today, I don't know whether you brought Callie back or I brought Avren on, if they could answer Billy the Kid or Doc Holliday.
Probably
right?
Not.
Especially because of the access they have to all the different... I mean, think about it. All three of us... Between the three people on this podcast right now, there are two podcast products that are put out, right? There's so much opportunity to share information as an entertainer, as an individual. What the kids have access today compared to what we did, like how many channels did you have before when you got cable?
None. Okay. All right. I understand Antonio's point, and just
we're way off of Houdini.
Just for the record, for all of Lyle's poor listeners right now, we have not been smoking anything, I swear. No,
that's just how I roll.
No. I don't think you're making bad points. I think what you're saying is it all has to do with who is the pop culture phenomenon at any given point in time, whether it be 100 years later from that person, like Doc Holliday might be, or in the moment, like Doc Holliday might have been. But I think there's a disconnect that I don't think that you're fully grasping, Antonio.
In terms of what disconnect?
I think that there is technology, the world is changing in a way that yes, Houdini...
But that's my entire point. Houdini has had a longer run of notoriety than most people ever will in entertainment. However, I don't think it goes any further because of the amount of access these kids have to be exposed to everything and anything, which is why Callie and Avren are not talking about Houdini at school.
My only point is that I think that there will always be a connection between the word Houdini and the word magic.
Yes. My point to that, though, is how relevant is magic today than it used to be back in the day?
Probably not a lot, but no. I still think Houdini will be synonymous with magic for a
long
time.
I bet you more people look into with respect to magic? What's that YouTuber's name who can do all the special graphics of, like, you know, jump through a bag of Skittles and it turns into a rainbow and he's got different color shirts? It's like this famous YouTube guy. I don't know what his name is.
I don't know his name either. That's beyond my time.
But I bet you that is more relevant to magic for these kids today than Houdini.
Oh, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Definitely.
For us and older, Houdini's more relevant.
Okay.
But
I understand what you're saying.
For Callie and Averyn, they don't care about Houdini, bro.
Yeah, but you also have to think of it this way.
It's a great story.
But maybe us doing this makes it relevant. And it's not just us on Lyle's podcast or our podcast, but maybe just the fact that it is a thing, it's a phenomenon, it's a word of mouth that is related to the word magic, makes it live on in time.
Yeah, but we also have to think of it this way. When exactly did you guys get interested in history? And don't tell me elementary school, because you know we weren't. I was not interested in history.
No, I got most interested in history 10th grade year of high school.
That's around the same time I did.
With Mr. Fry.
And mine was honestly the last year of college. I was way late on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we find it fascinating, and we probably go back to find, you know, all these crazy people that we didn't know existed, and we, you know, you guys do it on your shows all the time.
All the time.
I guess what I'm worried about is, and maybe it's more of a worry of a concern than it is a point I'm making, is not just Houdini, but will magic be written out of the history books?
Are you worried about that? Like, that's a thing you're concerned about? Hey, yeah. Lyle, I think you and I can both agree that this is not going to be the case, right?
No, I definitely do not think that magic is going to go anywhere. There's always new magicians coming. There's a bunch of young guys that are doing tricks that I can't figure out. I can't believe that they're doing it. And it does look like they have magical powers. I'll be the first to admit that. But do they really have magical powers? They probably will tell you no, it's a trick. But then there's the other people that say that it is done with magical powers. So as long as that argument stays alive, I don't think magic's going to go away.
Fair enough.
I agree. And I also wonder, at one point during this episode, did you wish you could just snap your fingers and wish and wish Antonio and I were not on this podcast?
Never. I mean, I sought after you guys. How long have we been trying to do this podcast? When did I ask you guys?
A long time.
6 months ago?
You knew what you were getting into, huh?
I knew exactly what was going to happen. And hey, I mean, it turned out fun because we talked about Houdini. I got Callie on. We discussed if magic will be relevant in 100 years or not. So who knows? It might.
Very cool, Lyle. Thank you, man. We appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, no problem. That's what the Halloween podcast is for, to help other people find different podcasts. Stick around here. We talk about, you know, it might not be 100% Halloween related, but hey, Houdini died on Halloween and they still hold this seance every Halloween. And you can...
I will tell you this. From this episode, every Halloween, Houdini's relevance will be a little more apparent for me.
It will be in my mind as well. I couldn't agree more.
And I might even tell my kids about it, but maybe not.
Well, you should.
Just to make a point. Just because he wants to make a point, Lyle, that's the only reason he might not.
No, if he's so worried that magic is going to go away, he needs to continue it with, you know, with his kids. And then his kids will do it to their kids and so on. That's life. You know what, Antonio? Send me your address. I'm going to send you 3 Houdini shirts for your kids. Just send me the sizes.
Right, cool. Do it. Do it.
And the pictures better be posted of them wearing them. And yeah, I'm pretty sure Houdini shirts are not going to be hard to find.
We can do that. We can post that.
We'll definitely do that. So, okay, guys, how can people find your show?
You can check us out either at 230dudes.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, iTunes product, or Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spreaker, anywhere on social media at 230dudes. And that's actual numbers, 230dudes.
All right, sounds good. Guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Lyle.
We appreciate it.
Good time.
And that's going to do it for our discussion on Harry Houdini. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you'd like to send me any questions, comments, or if I said anything wrong, you can go ahead and send those to thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/thehalloweenpodcast. We're also on Twitter @thehalloweenpod. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it a couple of different ways. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Those always help. You could also leave a review wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you again next time. Have a good night.